The hour of 1 p.m. having arrived, I'm going to call the March 17th, 2022 meeting of the House Taxes Committee to order under Rules 10.01. If you are watching these proceedings, you can get all of the materials that members have by going to your website of Minnesota House of Representatives, go to Committees and Divisions, go to Taxes Committee, and then that home page off to the right hand side. And with that, Ms. Griska, please take the roll.
Representative Marquardt.
Marquardt present.
Representative Marquardt present. Representative Lislegarde.
Representative Lislegarde present.
Representative Lislegarde present. Representative Davids.
Davids present.
Representative Davids present. Representative Agbaje.
Present.
Representative Agbaje present. Representative Carlson.
Carlson's present.
Representative Carlson's present. Representative Detmer.
Detmer present.
Representative Detmer present. Representative Garofalo.
Garofalo present.
Representative Garofalo present. Representative Gomez. Representative Herr.
Present.
Representative Herr present. Representative Hertas.
Hertas present.
Representative Hertas present. Representative Howard.
Howard present.
Representative Howard present. Representative McDonald.
McDonald, cheers.
Representative present. McDonald present. Representative Miller.
Miller present.
Representative Miller present. Representative Moran. Representative Mortensen.
Present.
Representative Mortensen present. Representative Robbins.
Present.
Representative Robbins present. Representative Sandell.
Sandell is present.
Representative Sandell present. Representative Schultz.
Present.
Representative Schultz present. Representative Stevenson. Representative Swazinski.
Here.
Representative Swazinski present. Representative Joachim.
Present.
Representative Joachim present. We have a quorum.
Thank you very much, Ms. Griska. In honor of St. Patrick's Day, Representative McDonald, would you like to move to approve the minutes for March 16th?
Yes, I would.
Representative McDonald moves approval of the March 16th, 2022 minutes. Any discussion, thoughts, changes? If not, please unmute yourselves temporarily. We'll take the vote. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye. Those opposed, aye. Say nay. The motion does prevail. The March 16th, 2022 minutes of the House Taxes Committee are approved. Thank you. Members, we have six bills that all refer to a building construction sales tax exemptions with making it refundable. And I'd like to have Mr. Klayman go over how this procedure works, since all these bills are pretty identical. And Mr. Klayman, if you could review kind of how that works and how the refund works and so forth.
Sure.
Mr. Klayman.
Yep. So, Mr. Chair, just by way of background, there is a general sales tax exemption that exists for local governments and nonprofits, but there are a number of exceptions to that. So, you know, many services are exempt under that law, and the other exemption is for lump sum construction contracts. So, you know, the question would be, how does that exemption work if you've got a local government that has entered into a contract with a contractor to construct or modify a public facility. And there are some work, and so state law says that that's not taxable, or that it is taxable. The purchases for the materials, supplies, and equipment that are used in those projects. And so, in other words, that the tax exemption doesn't flow through when you have one of those lump sum construction contracts. There's a workaround for it, but it can be pretty extensive And so typically what the state has done in the past is they've come in and either by passing a special law or a specific codified exemption, they've provided, or the legislature has provided an exemption for some of these contracts. Typically the way that it works is that the tax is required to be paid upfront by the contractor when they make their materials purchases. And then that tax is refunded under a set delineated set of circumstances. So in other words, the entity typically is the exempt entity. They're the ones who have to apply for the refund. And so, and then the tax is then refunded to them. So that's typically how it works. And I think you'll see the general scheme for that in the bills today. So it's the payment of the tax up front and then the application for the refund, and the entity is who's exempt is usually the one who applies for that refund.
Very good. Thank you very much, Mr. Clayman. It's good to have kind of a foundation of what we're doing today. And so some might be wondering, you know, in the governor's tax bill, there's a general exemption on this, on all local government construction sales tax, which means it would cover all of the projects that we're hearing today. And just to be safe, and I, you know, it would be nice. It's kind of a goal, I think, of this tax committee to at least it's been bipartisan bills over the years to do that, just have a blanket approval on the local government on these building constructions and the sales tax. But if we don't get there in the tax bill, we need to hear these bills individually. And so that's why we're hearing them individually today in case we don't get to the overall blanket proposal. So members, with that, we're gonna start out with actually House File 1960. Representative Igel, Bill, who would like to, this is for Itasca County, who would like to move House File 1960 to be laid over for possible inclusion?
So moved, Mr. Chairman.
Very good. Representative McDonald makes that motion. And before I turn it over to Representative Igel, we do have Representative Stevenson, Gomez, and Moran, who have now joined the meeting. So, Representative Igel, welcome to the Tax Committee. Please present your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yeah, so my bill, House File 1960, is a simple sales tax exemption for the Itasca County Jail and Courthouse that's being built. So the Itasca County hasn't done any remodel or really reconstruction of our justice center, as I'll call it, since the 50s. This is a need for not only just Itasca County, but for the whole surrounding area so that it can best serve its citizens. So with me today is the Itasca County County Administrator, Brett Skiles, and I'll kind of hand it off to him to be able to kind of give the rundown on the project.
Thank you very much, Representative Igel. Mr. Skiles, welcome to the committee. If you would introduce yourself and please proceed.
Yep. Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Brett Skiles. I'm the Itasca County Administrator. And as Rep. Igel noted, this is for our courts improvements and constructions. Just as a real brief history, 2.5 years ago, we got our jail sunset letter from the Director of Department of Corrections. And as our board was looking at where and how large to build that, the courts and our judges took the opportunity to educate us on the needs of the courts. You know, the typical issues came up with space. We have very limited space when it comes to jury assembly. Unfortunately, when it comes to courts, business is good in Itasca County. And so while we only have three judges, the need for a fourth is there. We have a 3.8 judge workload right now. So if we were to get a fourth judge, we don't have a courtroom or a chambers to put them in. But the other larger issues that were raised by the courts were ADA. We're not ADA compliant, particularly with those who have mobility issues. The restrooms are not ADA compliant everywhere. And security. We don't have great security when it comes to separation of victims and potential perpetrators. And I can't even imagine how much anxiety could happen when you come face to face with your alleged attacker. And we also, even in our secure hallways in the back room, we don't have separation for judges and judicial staff from inmates as they're walking back and forth. So it happens quite regularly that they pass each other in the hallway, which is just an opportunity for more issues. So the board decided to rip the Band-Aid off, as it were, and do the new jail and courts facility all at once. And so the bill just is requesting on the court side to have that sales tax reimbursement. The numbers, I'm happy to say, are on budget, despite exponentially increasing costs for goods and services. Our bids came in exactly where we predicted on engineer's estimate. So just so this committee knows, we'd be looking at about $526,000. And I'm happy to take any questions.
So very good. Thank you very much, Administrator Skiles. And as he mentioned, the revenue estimate for House File 1960 is $260,000 in each of 2024 and 2025. With that, Representative Swazinski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And just a question for Mr. Giles.
Very good.
Just a question, sir. You know, have you seen an increase in crime in your area as far as folks traveling from outside to in? Kind of what have you guys seen in the area just to justify the construction of this this jail?
Mr. Skiles.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair and Representative. That's a great question. We have actually seen quite a bit of an uptick in crime coming from the outside. We just had the Department of Corrections here presenting to our board yesterday and have seen increases across the board, whether it's theft to DUIs and drug-related charges. So we, Itasca County is a little over 3,000 square miles, so we're kind of considered a region in ourselves. And yeah, we certainly have seen more crime coming into the county. Great question.
Representative Swazinski.
Thank you. Is it stuff traveling, you know, people coming into the county and doing dirty deeds, or is it your own folks kind of, how is that breakdown looking?
Administrator Skiles, do you have the breakdown of your crime one, crime two rates, or what have you got?
Yeah, Mr. Chair and Representative, you know, when we put together our local option sales tax request for this same committee last year, we did have some of those numbers. Approximately 30 to 40% of our inmates in jail at any given time are not Itasca County residents.
Representative Swazinski.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. So sounds like kind of a regional project. You know, I think that's, you know, this sounds like a decent program. Obviously, I support the governor's provision for the general sales tax on all of these projects moving forward, whether it's roads, bridges, jails, to keep the public safe, whatever that might be. I'm just going to give this speech and I'm done for the day. Thank you very much.
Representative Swazinski, thank you much. Any other questions of either Representative Igoe or the testifier? Is there anyone else on that would like to testify to House File 1960? Seeing none, Representative Igoe, you have the final word.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you to the committee for hearing this bill today. This is just a great way to help our greater Minnesota communities as we're working to keep us all safe. So we appreciate the committee's support. Thank you.
Thank you very much. The chair will lay over House File 1960 for possible inclusion into the omnibus tax bill. Thank you. Next, we will then go back to Representative Bonner. House File 4114, would anyone like to make the motion?
So moved, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Representative Robbins moves the layover House File 4114 for possible inclusion into the omnibus tax bill. Very good. Representative Bonner, welcome to the committee. Please begin your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And particularly, I want to apologize to the committee. I was running from the Capitol over to here after a press conference, so I appreciate your indulgence on that. Mr. Chair and members, and the bill before you is around the North Metro Regional Public Safety Training Facility. It is one of only three regional law enforcement training centers in the state that provides the space for the completion of training and state-required qualifications for law enforcement, from SWAT and FBI to the county sheriff's office and state patrol to our local police departments. The training facility proudly works in partnership with our surrounding cities. In the previous cycle, we were fortunate to secure the funding for bonding on this much needed expansion of this facility. While current law does provide tax exempt status for police and fire stations, the provision does not currently extend to training facilities for those entities. The bill before you today does one simple thing. It clarifies that the North Metro Regional Public Safety Training Facility located in Maple Grove qualifies for a refundable sales tax exemption on materials and supplies used in the construction, expansion, and remodel of this public safety facility. I want to thank the tax committee for their previous leadership to exempt other public safety facilities from the state sales tax on construction. I am proud to represent the North Metro Regional Public Safety Training Facility and the law enforcement professionals it serves across the region. This bill simply ensures this facility receives the same tax status as other public safety facilities in our state. And with that, Mr. Chair and members, I do ask for your support. In your packets, you'll find a one-pager, including some letters of support, as well as a recent acquisition from the North Metro mayors in support of the bill, and the Minnesota Department of Revenue summary. And I do have Chief Werner here to testify, as well as two members of the City of Maple Grove, Greg Stitcha, and Heidi Nelson for any potential questions.
Very good. Thank you so much, Representative Bonner. And will the revenue estimate for House File 4114 is $310,000 in just 2023. Very good. So Chief Werner, welcome to the committee. Introduce yourself and please begin your testimony.
Well, good afternoon, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Eric Werner. I'm the Chief of Police for the City of Maple Grove, and I want to say thank you for allowing me the opportunity to speak on this important bill for our North Metro Regional Public Safety Training Facility in Maple Grove. Just as some brief background, our regional facility serves approximately 19 law enforcement agencies from the local, county, state, and federal level. In addition, we also have post-secondary institutions that train our upcoming law enforcement professionals in the facility as well. Our expansion project will add about 30,000 square feet to provide state-of-the-art technology and facilities, which include additional classroom space for additional de-escalation and crisis intervention training, simulation space for scenario-based training, dedicated decision-making simulation lab, and increased firearm training lanes. As was previously noted, Maple Grove received state bonding in the amount of $3.5 million in support of our project in the 2020 legislative session, and the project is currently under construction. The City of Maple Grove, Hennepin County, and our JPA users of the facility are funding the balance of the $17.5 million project. And I believe it was just previously noted also that the taxable materials are estimated at about $4.5 million with an exemption of about over $300,000. Including this tax exemption for our regional facility allows the city and its partners to maximize its investment in this expansion project and essentially bringing those dollars into bringing to the facility to the highest quality of training and a technology for the training needs in a 21st century policing environment. So, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, again, I just want to say thank you for the opportunity to be here today. It's a pleasure to be able to provide testimony, and myself and the other city officials that are here will stand for any questions you may have.
Very good. Thanks, Chief Werner. Representative Robbins.
Thank you, Chair Marquardt. And I just wanted to thank Representative Bonner, Chief Werner, and Heidi Nelson for being here. I strongly support this. The North Metro Regional Training Facility has just already been so important to our region for law enforcement, and the expansion will enable more training to occur there. I've gone through some of these simulations. They're incredible, and it really will help our entire region. So I appreciate the committee's consideration. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else from the audience, I guess, that would like to testify on House File 4114? Seeing none, any other members? Questions for the author or the testifier? Or any of the Maple Grove City officials? That? Representative Bonner, closing comments.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. It has been such an honor and a pleasure to work with Chief Werner, with Heidi and other city officials on this project. You know, we have been able to have a unique opportunity to see this facility at work and the great work that is being done in that facility. I am so proud to represent all of these folks and have such a wonderful partnership with them. So I want to thank them for their time and their effort to be here today. And I hope, members, that you will support this facility. It has a great appeal for all of our region and in service to those folks who are helping to keep our community safe each day.
Very good. Thank you so much, Representative Bonner, for bringing this forward. Thank you to the testifiers. The chair will lay over House File 4114 for possible inclusion into the House tax omnibus bill. Thank you much. Next up on the agenda is House File 2189, Representative Olsonell. Would anyone like to make that motion?
So moved.
Representative Joachim moves to lay over House File 2189 for possible inclusion into the House omnibus tax bill. Representative Olson, welcome to the Tax Committee. Please present your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It's a delight to be with you all today. It's always fun to be in the Tax Committee. So I first wanted to say thank you for the opportunity to present House File 2189, which is a sales tax exemption on the construction material for the Duluth Public School District. In 2020, with the help from the Minnesota Legislature, the Duluth Public Schools began implementing a strategic plan that allowed them to vacate and sell a historic school building in downtown Duluth. The historic Old Central High School has since been sold and will be preserved and converted into more than 100 units of much needed housing in the center of our city. The district plan also included the consolidation of its administrative space, facilities maintenance space, and transportation center on land already owned by the district. This plan creates efficiencies and centralizes services provided by the district, ultimately saving taxpayers millions of dollars. And so this proposed sales tax exemption on construction materials will provide the district with an additional $600,000 to $700,000 that it can reinvest into the project. And with me to discuss the project and share more is Kathy Erickson, the Chief Financial Officer for the Duluth Public Schools.
Thank you, Chair Olson. Ms. Erickson, if you would please introduce yourself and welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Chair Marquardt and members. Thank you for the opportunity. My name is Kathy Erickson, and I am the district CFO for Duluth Public Schools. Thank you for the opportunity to talk with you about the construction sales tax exemption, and a special thank you to Representative Olson for authoring this bill on our behalf. As Representative Olson shared with you, we are on a second step of our building a strategic plan, which included the analysis and ultimate put on the market of our historic Central High School, which I'm so happy to announce that we did a final closure just this past month. So we look forward to seeing that as a longstanding sustainable building within our community. But with that, it required us to relocate several departments within who were currently housed in historic Central, and then also address some of the items that were not able to be addressed in our first long-range planning that happened in the district approximately 12 to 15 years ago. So with that, this opportunity to utilize the sales tax exemption would allow us to continue to put in motion items that would allow us to have a more sustainable long-term location on district-owned property. Our relocation will be at property we already own, but will also include the demolition of an existing school's building on that site. With that, it will create a regional opportunity for additional economic development within the city of Duluth. But at this time, with the current economy and other market considerations, this sales tax exemption would go a long way to help promote the finalization of this project. I do want to say that I am very proud of the hard work that Duluth Public Schools and our team did. Similar to the Itasca project, we are currently on budget, but additional funds would help us secure components that were not included in the original project because of the budget that we had put together. So we look forward to the opportunity to have this consideration so that we can continue to invest in this community asset in Duluth. Again, thank you for the opportunity to advocate for this sales tax exemption. I'd be happy to answer any questions, and thanks again to Representative Olson.
Thank you very much, Ms. Erickson. The revenue estimate for House File 2189 is $250,000 in fiscal year 23 and $270,000 in fiscal year 24. Anyone else in the audience that would like to testify on House File 2189? If not, members, any questions or thoughts for the author or the testifier? Seeing none, Chair Olson, you have the final word.
Thank you, Chair Marquardt, for your consideration of House File 2189.
Thank you very much. The chair will lay over House File 2189 for possible inclusion into the House tax omnibus bill. Thank you very much. Next up on the agenda, we have House File 2092 for Representative Eklund. Would someone like to make the motion?
So moved, Mr. Chair.
Representative Les Legard moves that House File 2092 be laid over for possible inclusion into the House omnibus tax bill. Chair Eklund, welcome to the committee. Please begin your testimony on House File 2092.
Thank you, Chair Marquardt, Vice Chair Les Legard, Ranking Member Davids, and thanks for hearing House File 2092, a construction sales tax exemption for the Ely Public Schools construction project. Ely Public Schools is in the middle of a $20+ million upgrade to their school campus, which includes two nearly 100-year-old school buildings for the elementary and the high school. This project has suffered from pandemic-related supply chain issues, which have caused the project price tag to rise by more than $4 million. The sales tax exemption proposed in this bill would save the district almost $370,000, which can be reinvested in the project and help with the project deficit. With me today, Mr. Chairman, is Ely's Elementary School Principal, Annie Olke. And Annie, if I got your name wrong, I apologize, who will testify on behalf of the district.
Very good. Thank you, Chair Eklund. Principal Olke, would you please state your name and welcome to the committee and begin your testimony.
Thank you, Chair Marquardt, Vice Chair Liz Legard, Ranking Member David, and all members. My name is Ann Elke. Yes, my last name is very strange. I am the elementary principal for the Independent School District of Ely 696 in Ely, Minnesota. I'm proud to say also that I am a graduate of the Ely Public Schools. And after returning after college, I came back to the area to teach elementary. And now I'm also serving as elementary principal for the last 11 years. So thank you, Representative Eklund, for bringing forward this bill, House File 2092 for Ely, and to Representative Liz Legard for bringing forward the combined bill, House File 2786 for school districts in Northern. In 2020, the citizens of Ely began the process to modernize the Ely school campus by connecting our nearly 100-year-old elementary building and high school buildings with a new building to create a single secure central entrance that will include a 21st century learning space for science, technology, and engineering, a new gymnasium, a new library and media center, a new food service area, and additional energy efficiency and technology upgrades to the two existing buildings. The entire project was to cost a bit more than $20 million, with $10 million coming from the taxpayers of Ely and $7 million from taconite taxes as part of the Department of Iron Range Resources School Collaborative Program. The use of our LTFM funding combined with a modest federal grant made up the difference. As is the case for so many other projects, pandemic-related supply chain issues and increases in the cost of building materials have caused the project to unexpectedly increase by over $4 million. The sales tax exemption proposed by Representative Eklund will help us reinvest much needed dollars back into the project and help to fill that funding hole. In the case of Ely, almost $370,000 can be reinvested in the project as we continue to work to find different ways to fill the funding deficit. I want to assure members that our project contains nothing real frivolous. We are talking about technology and energy upgrades to our very old facility to serve students for years to come. We're talking about safety that will keep our students and teachers safe. We're talking about new modern learning spaces so that we can train students with the skills that they'll need to either enter the workforce upon graduation or go on for further education. Members, thank you for your consideration. I'm happy to stand for any questions.
Thank you very much, Principal Elke. Appreciate that. I'm going to ask, before I go to Chair Joachim, I'm going to ask, is there anyone else from the audience that would like to? All right. And the revenue estimate is for 2023, $340,000. Chair Joachim.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to speak up in favor of this project. About 3 years ago or four, I got a chance to tour the Ely Public Schools and see the need that they have for upgrading their facilities and the great plan they have for joining the buildings together so the elementary kids don't have to walk outside to go to lunch in the high school building. So I just want to put a plug in for the project.
Thank you very much, Chair Joachim. Any other member questions or comments? Seeing none, Chair Eklund, you've got the final word.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair and members. And building a new school or revamping an old school is going to always be a challenge. And these folks ran into another buzzsaw with the pandemic. So I appreciate the tax committee's consideration of this bill. Thank you, Mr. Chair and members.
Thank you so much. The chair will lay over House File 2092. Possible inclusion into the House tax omnibus bill. Thank you. Next bill on the agenda is House File 2786. Representative Les Lagarde, would you like to move your bill?
So moved, Mr. Chair.
Representative Les Lagarde moves layover House File 2786 for possible inclusion in the tax omnibus bill. Very good. Please present your bill, Representative Les Lagarde. And you have an A2 author's amendment, I see.
Yes. Yep. And that is to include Northland Learning Center, Nashua, Keewatin, and Northern Lights Cooperative.
Well, all right. Would you please move the A2 amendment?
So moved, Mr. Chair.
Representative Lesgard moves the A2 amendment. Hear any comments, questions on that? If not, I'm going to ask you to temporarily unmute yourself so we can vote on the A2 amendment. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say nay. The motion does prevail. The A2 amendment is adopted. Representative Les Lagarde, to House File 2786 has amended.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, Ranking Member Davids, and committee members. I apologize that I'm currently on my phone. I feel like I'm up north on the Iron Range with no broadband service, so I'm actually sitting in my office on my phone. So. Anyway, thank you for the opportunity to present House File 2786 as amended, a sales tax exemption construction materials for 8 school districts in Northeast Minnesota. The House File 2786 will make it easier for the 8 school district construction projects in Northern Minnesota to take advantage of this exemption, thus allowing them to reinvest that money back into the projects. This is particularly important right now because of the supply chain issues, the dramatic increase in construction costs, as we all know. You have heard from Representative Olson and Eklund about their projects in their district that is included in this overall bill. With me today, I have the superintendent of Rock Ridge School District. And Rock Ridge School District is on the Iron Range in Northeast Minnesota. And that project alone stands to gain almost $3 million from this exemption. And that money will be reinvested into the project, which is currently seeing over costs due to the pandemic related issues. So this funding gap with this and others is extremely important, as all these projects are, as you heard today. So today I have Dr. Noelle Schmidt, the superintendent at Rock Ridge, who is here to testify in support of this bill.
Thank you very much, Representative Leslegard. Superintendent Dr. Schmidt, welcome to the committee. If you would introduce yourself and please begin your testimony.
Thank you, members of the Tax Committee. I am the superintendent of the newly formed Rock Ridge School District, which is the consolidated district from the old Evelyn-Gilbert and the old Virginia School District. I'm here for—
Would you state your name, please?
Oh, Noelle Schmidt.
Thank you.
Superintendent Rock Ridge School District. And the reason why I'm here is that, in short, we did everything the state of Minnesota wants us to do. We did it right. In 2019, we passed, even before consolidation, to build cooperative cities between Virginia and Evelyn-Gilbert. So we're in the process of building two elementary schools and a high school. And so we started the building and passed it in 2019 before COVID. Now, because of the sequence of events, we're in the middle of the high school construction. We have another elementary school that's coming online here. We'll start this fall. And we planned it correctly. We set aside the money correctly. All of the projects are coming in as budget as we can. COVID is just killing us because the budget was passed in 2019. We even anticipated high inflation. So we have a situation here. We're truly cooperating. We're actually consolidated. We're merging together. We are building a Career Academy High School where we're going to be cooperating with a lot of the local area business people. We've already started that. We have partnerships with all sorts of different businesses to give our kids help, but we need help on the construction. We planned it well. We cooperated with one another. It's going to be a great education for our kids, and we're just asking for some help. We know it's a little bit larger, and that's because we're building three completely new buildings up here. All of our buildings were 100, most of them except for one were 100 years old. So we're trying to do what's right for our kids. We're still going to do it. We're just asking for a little help from the Tax Committee.
Thank you very much, Dr. Schmidt. Just the revenue estimate we have for fiscal 2023, $1.4 million. For fiscal 24, it's $4.28 million. For fiscal 25, it's $1.38 million. Representative Leslegard, so it's, I'm looking through here, District 709, I presume, is Duluth. And then Ely School District must be 701 or 696, and then you also have three other, Chisholm Elementary School, Chisholm High School, and Vaughn Steffens Root School, and ISD 695, the James Madison Building for Northland Learning Center, and Northern Lights Academy. Am I missing, well, and then the current Rock Ridge Public Schools. What else, am I missing one there? Is there another one?
There is a total of, no, they're Rock Ridge, Hibbing, Chisholm, Northland Learning Center, Nashua, Kiewit, Northern Lights Cooperative, and Duluth. Okay. Kind of the Northeast Minnesota schools. A blanket bill there, Mr. Chair.
Very good, Representative Leslegard. I just wanted to get that on the record, what we're all being included here. So very good. Is there anyone else from the audience that would like to testify on House File 2786 is amended? Seeing none, members, any questions or comments? Representative Leslegard, closing comments.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. I just think that this is a prudent thing for us to do is to help these school districts and all the projects that we heard today. So I'm in full support, and I would appreciate everyone's support. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Representative Leslegard. The chair will lay over House File 2786. House File 2786 as amended for possible inclusion into the House tax omnibus bill. Thank you very much. Last bill on the agenda, we have House File 2262, which is Representative Hertaus, who is a member of the Property Tax Division and Tax Committee. Would you like to move your bill?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And you mentioned Northern Lights Academy and Northern Lights Cooperative. And it being St. Patrick's Day, I thought I should put some green Northern Lights in the background to celebrate this day.
So, very appropriate. Would you? Very good.
Representative Liz Lagard, you cannot see it because you said you're on the phone. But anyway, it's a nice nebulous background of Northern Lights, a green one. Mr. Chair, thank you. I would like to move House File 2262 for possible inclusion. And Mr. Chair, I also have an A22 amendment.
Very good. Would you like to move that A22-0365 amendment?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would like to move the A22 amendment to get the bill in proper order.
Very good. So members, unless you have some big pertinent question, I'd like to take the vote so we can get it to what the author would like to see. So I'm going to call for a vote on the A22 amendment. Please temporarily unmute. All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Those opposed say nay. The motion does prevail. The A22-0365 amendment is adopted. Representative Hertaus, to your bill as amended.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And members, the House File 2262, as we know, this whole day is dedicated to sales tax exemptions. This is one for the city of Wayzata. I have been before the committee before, and we have effectively provided funding for the Wayzata Lake Effect, now known as the Panaway Effect. Members, Lake Minnetonka is clearly a regional asset to Hennepin County and the surrounding counties as well, including Carver and Wright, come from all over the area to use it. But what's difficult is Lake Minnetonka is largely privately owned, and there's less than 2% of any of the lakeshore left that is actually available to the public. What the city of Wayzata has done is they had in their possession the largest contiguous lineal footage of frontage on the lake. They have decided to make, through their city and through their main street, Lake Minnetonka accessible to everyone. And so this was the brainchild of the Panaway or Lake Effect project. And they have transformed what used to be kind of a downtown parking lot into making it a very accessible place for people from all around to come to Lake Minnetonka, to come to Wayzata and enjoy the lake. Well, what this bill does is basically provides an addition or in helpful funding for seeing this project to its very end, which was about a $20 million project in its concept, would help contribute to the completion of the project. And so what the amendment did and what the bill does is basically goes back retroactively to pick up some of the sales taxes that have been paid in partial completion of some of the projects and some of the completed projects, as well as the remaining projects according to the city's plan to affect the final vision of what was going to be and will be one day the completion of the lake effect. Chair, I do have in the background Mayor Mouton to provide some additional information as well as the city administrator, Mr. Dahl. So with that, Mr. Chair, I would defer to you to call on either one of them first and let them tell you and the members a little bit more about the project.
Thank you very much, Representative Hertaus. And before we go there, I will read off the revenue estimate. House File 2262 as amended, the revenue estimate for 2024 is $550,000. So we have Mayor Mouton here, and then Jeff Dahl, city manager, and I see community development director Emily Goldner is here available for any questions. So with that, as a former mayor, I always go, and I know Representative Hertaus, you're a former mayor. We need to start with the mayors first. So mayor, welcome to the committee.
This becomes the three M's.
There you go. So, Mayor, welcome to the committee. Please introduce yourself and begin with your testimony.
Well, thank you very much. Good afternoon. Thank you, Mr. Chair and members, for allowing the City of Wayzata to come before you today. I am Mayor Mouton, and I would like to begin by thanking Representative Hertaus for all of his support and leadership he has provided the City of Wayzata. Representative Hertaus has been working hard with us to provide a great public amenity for the citizens of Wayzata, the entire metro, and the state of Minnesota. The first phase has been built and funded by the people of Wayzata. We are honored to be part of this excellent public partnership with the state. Thanks to Representative Hertaus to provide critical public access to the lakefront, restore the shoreline, preserve history, provide safety enhancements and other public amenities in our community. We are asking the House Tax Committee to exempt the sales tax on construction materials for all phases of the project. We are aware that this type of requests have been granted for many public facilities that benefit the region. Some examples are the Ice Arena in Plymouth, Allianz Field in St. Paul, the Duluth Convention Center, and numerous police and fire facilities across the state. This policy ensures a local government does not pay state sales tax on construction materials and reduces the overall cost of the project. An infographic of the project is in your materials today. I also have Wayzata City Manager Jeff Dahl, as was mentioned previously, with me to answer any questions you may have, as well as Ms. Gilner. Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members. We are happy to stand and answer any questions you may have.
Thank you very much, Mayor Mouton. Appreciate that. Anyone else, before I ask for members, anyone else from the audience that would like to testify on House File 2262 is amended? Not seeing anyone. Members, any questions for the mayor or anyone else who's available from the City of Wayzata or Representative Hertaus? Chair Joaquin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Representative Hertaus. I just wanted to say I have driven out to Wayzata, parked, used the extension of the trail, gone out past Mound Back, ate, brought lunch in your town and sat down by the lake at the beautiful new pavilion. So yes, it is a regional project.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Thank you, Chair Joaquin.
I don't see any other members seeking recognition. So Representative Hertaus, final.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. And thank you, Mayor Mouton, for your kind words as well. This has been a multi-year project, and I've been proud to be as effective as I can be here at the legislature to help bring this project to fruition. And it really is going to become a jewel of access to Lake Minnetonka. So with that, Mr. Chair, I would move for this to be considered for possible inclusion again.
Thank you. Very good. Thank you so much, Representative Hertaus. Thank you, Mayor and others, for your testimony. The chair will lay over House File 2262 as amended for possible inclusion into the House Tax Omnibus Bill. And so members, you know, last year with this, we did include public safety facilities. I have to recognize Representative Swedzinski, who has brought bills forward to do what the governor has in his proposal, which is to exempt all of those. And, you know, if we can get there, we can get there. But today's hearing was kind of a backup plan to make sure we, have heard all of these projects and we could still do these projects if we don't do kind of the full works on that. So I want to thank everyone who presented today and everyone who came forward. And just a thank you also to our staff and for, you know, preparing all the materials and all of the analysis and the summaries, and the Department of Revenue for providing all of the revenue estimates. We know a lot of time is put into that. So thank you to staff and the department. For next week, next Tuesday, we're just hearing one bill. Representative Sundin has a bill dealing with military pay. It shouldn't last too long, so it should be a short meeting. On Wednesday, we're going to be taking up bills regarding Social Security benefits and pensions. There's four bills We'll be hearing that day. And then on Thursday, there'll be four or five bills. And I can't remember all of those. But anyway, we'll have a full schedule for next week. But Tuesday should be a relatively short day. So Representative McDonald.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair, and happy St. Patrick's Day to you and the rest of the members. Since we have such a short meeting next week, just curious as to when we can anticipate some of our more Republican bills, especially some bills that deal with reducing our tax burden on our families and businesses in the state of Minnesota. In lieu of the surplus and sixth highest tax state in the nation, one of them, just curious as if you are willing to give those a hearing this year.
So, yes. I mean, so first of all, we have heard a number of bills that are going to provide important tax cuts and tax relief to people all around Minnesota. And, you know, the property tax division and here in the tax committee. So we've heard a number of those bills that will do that. We don't hear all the bills that are brought forward. As I have tried to do is to hear bills that we will kind of ultimately consider or may not. So we've got a number of tax cut type of bills, and we're going to hear the bills that I think are probably going to do the most help for those people who really need it. And if your bill is not heard, when we do put out the tax omnibus bill, it's always available for amendments. So you always have a shot to promote any bill that wasn't given a hearing either in property tax division or the tax bill. But we will have heard, we will continue to hear bills that will provide tax relief to those folks who need the relief. Representative McDonald.
Thank you. Well, I appreciate that, Mr. Chair. It is a disappointment to think that at this point, any reduction in personal income tax is not on the table. But as you said, we'll have an opportunity to offer an amendment, and we'll all have an opportunity to vote on reduction, certainly. So I appreciate that, Mr. Chair.
Very good. Thank you, Representative McDonald. And I do hear, I think, a number of Republican bills. I mean, we're trying to, you know, make sure that that's always part of the plan. And we'll continue to create that fairness here in tax.
If I may just add, Mr. Chair.
Representative McDonald.
Yes, for the years that you've been the chairman and I've been on the same length of time, you have been very fair in making sure that there was an equal number of bills and you gave us hearings. It just seems a little less this year, but that's just the way the cards fall, I guess. But in previous years, yes, you've always been a straight arrow. But this year, just a little not as generous with the with some of our bills. But
that's Representative McDonald, I appreciate that comments very much. And you have an enjoyable St. Patrick's Day. So, and I love to see all the green there. And members, it's been a good week. And thanks for all of your work. We'll come back next Tuesday. And with that, members, we are adjourned.